Well, you guys, our guest speaker today is a man that, frankly, don't tell him this, but not only do I love having him speak here, I wish the guy was here all the time. He's my favorite. And Charlie Campbell is a man that I love, his conservative, biblical view, his worldview, his approach to Scripture. Charlie is a mechanic. He systematically marches through the Word of God and brings it to you in a way that is so wonderfully receptive and applicable. What Charlie teaches, you can put into practice. And that is a mark of an excellent Bible teacher and a very well-educated man, which Charlie is. But I got to tell you, he's a friend, he's a warrior, and while I'm away, I just thought he'd be a great addition to your faith and your faith-building exercise. And I can't say enough about my good friend Charlie. Love the man. I know you do too. Church, give a warm welcome to Charlie Campbell.
All right. Thanks for the warm welcome. Great to see all of you again. Good evening. Great to be back. I was just here, I think, in September of last year. So it's great to see you guys all again so soon. Would you turn with me to Colossians chapter 3, if you would? Colossians chapter 3. Heavenly Father, again, just we're so blessed to have this time to sit at your feet, to worship you. God, we love you and we thank you for who you are. We thank you for your grace and your mercy, your forgiveness, your provision. Lord, we pray now, though, that you would pour into our hearts as we consider the scriptures. Teach us, we do pray tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, tonight I'd like to talk to you about evangelism in the workplace. Evangelism in the workplace. Of course, my heart, as many of you know, is to equip the saints, to stand strong in the truth, and to share the gospel, and to contend for the faith. But one of the hardest places I know of to contend for the faith and to share the gospel is in the workplace. In the workplace. How many of you have found talking about the Lord a somewhat difficult experience when you're at work? Okay. The rest of you work at Lifeway Christian Bookstore. Big staff there. I know I found it challenging to talk about the Lord when I worked out in the secular workforce before I went into pastoral ministry back in the late 1980s and through the 90s. I worked in the surfing, snowboarding, and skateboarding industry. Not the hotbed of Christianity, as you might have guessed. But I worked with people over those years that I really came to love dearly. And I wanted to share the gospel with them. I wanted to talk about important spiritual matters with them, but it certainly was not easy. Why is it challenging to talk about the Lord and spiritual issues in our work environments? Well, of course, when you're at work, you're supposed to be working, right? Not sitting around telling people about your faith. Or the Bible. The owner of the company isn't paying you to tell people about Jesus. He's paying you to work. There's also the fear of man, of course. Fear of what people will think about us. And what if your coworkers conclude that you're some sort of Jesus freak? Now you've got to see them 5 days a week. And they're going to tell your other coworkers about the crazy person who tried to talk to them about Jesus. We can also struggle with the fear of being passed up for a raise or a promotion Because if we upset the boss, we might get fired or placed at the top of the list when layoffs start, and so on. So all of this can create some anxiety when we consider talking about Jesus with our coworkers. Well, God knew in advance that the workplace would be a difficult place to be a witness for Christ. So in his word, he's given us specific instructions on how to do it. And the instructions he gives are just perfect, as they always are. If you'll take some notes this evening and implement what we're about to look at in the scriptures, not only will you be a brighter light to your coworkers, you're going to end up being a better employee. And when promotions and raises are being considered, that certainly will not be a bad thing, will it? So, what does God's word have to say? Well, it's not exactly what you might think. The Bible doesn't tell us, hey, when you see a coworker there at the water cooler, tell him if you drink that water, you'll thirst again. You need to try some of the living water. No. The Bible doesn't give us any one-liners to help get conversations started with coworkers. The Bible approaches the whole topic of being a light in the workplace from a completely different angle. Rather than telling us what to say to our coworkers or employers, the scriptures emphasize who to be as we do our work. Let me repeat that. Rather than telling us what to say to our coworkers or employers, the scriptures emphasize who to be as we do our work. Notice with me, if you would, there in your Bibles, in Colossians chapter 3, verse 22. If you don't have a verse, we'll put it on the, or if you don't have a Bible, we'll put it on the screen for you. Colossians 3, verse 22. Paul starts off by mentioning bondservants. A bondservant, a modern equivalent of that word would be an employee today. So he says, bondservants, obey in all things your masters. The modern equivalent today would be employers. Obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. How can we be lights in the workplace? Well, if you're a note taker, number one, God desires that we obey our employers. Number one, God desires that we obey our employers. In other words, we're to follow the company rules. We're to follow the company rules. And notice there in verse 22 that the Bible says we are to obey in all things. Unless your employer is asking you to do something unlawful or sinful, God desires that you do things the way your employer wants you to do them. This would include those small things that other employees might compromise on. It would include those rules and instructions that you might disagree with. If your employer says breaks are 15 minutes long, you shouldn't, as a Christian, try to be sneaking in a few extra minutes. If your employer says not to be on Facebook and Instagram on office time, then the Lord wants you to obey him or her in that. Notice there at the end of verse 22 that the Bible says we are to obey in, what does it say? In sincerity of heart. That word sincerity in the Greek means without deceit. Without deceit. God's will for you in the workplace is that you obey your employer in all things and in no way seeking to deceive them. but Charlie, you don't know my boss. My boss is so unreasonable. He's harsh with his language. He's rude. He always wants me to work late. I hear what you're saying. I know some of you probably have bosses like that. They're mean. They're obnoxious. They're harsh. And it's not just the men bosses who can be that way. Women bosses can be pretty rude also. Does that give us an excuse to malign them or disobey them? How would God have us to interact with employers like this lady? Well, the Bible tells us how we're to interact with those kinds of employers. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 18 and 19, it says, "Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. For this is commendable if, because of conscience toward God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully." That's a challenging bit of instruction there, isn't it? But that is God's will for us in the workplace. As long as you see fit to work for your employer, God desires that you honor him or her, that you submit to him, you cooperate with him, you obey him, even when it's grieving to do so. Titus chapter 2, verse 9 reiterates this same point when it says, "Urge bondservants to be subject to their own masters in everything," everything that's lawful, "to be well-pleasing, not argumentative." So that is the first way you can be a light in the workplace, obeying your employer, even working in such a way as to be well-pleasing to them, Titus 2:9 says. Now, if you're here tonight and perhaps you're the owner of a company, you're the boss, please don't think that this study isn't for you, because you yourself have a boss. The Lord. You answer directly to him. He's blessed you with this ability to manage some of his assets for a time. But you answer directly to him. He wants you to obey him and work in a way that's pleasing to him. All right, moving along. There's a second exhortation for employees that I'd like to draw your attention to. Look at the very next verse there in your Bibles at Colossians 3, verse 23. Paul goes on to say, "And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men." I don't know what you do for a living. Maybe you're a bank teller, a waiter, a first responder. Maybe you work in an office somewhere. The Bible says, whatever it is that you do, do it heartily. Do it heartily. So if you're taking notes, this is a second way to be a light in the workplace. Number two, God desires that we do our work with enthusiasm. God desires that we do our work with enthusiasm. Are you enthusiastic about your job? Do you do your work heartily? Many employees these days lack enthusiasm for their work. They're not interested in their work. There's no fervor. There's no zeal. This should not be the case with Christians. If you want to shine in the workplace, if you want to glorify God on the job, the Bible says to do your work heartily. That word heartily in the Greek means life or soul. God wants you to put your life and soul into your work. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10, Solomon said, "Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might." Do it with your might. Now, These verses don't mean that your life should revolve around your job or that your job is more important than your family or your walk with the Lord. No, but while you're at work, God wants you to do your work heartily, to pour all of your energy, life, and soul into it, to do that work with all your might. Is that the way you do your work? Do you pour your energy, your life, and your soul into your work? Where do we find the motivation to work that way? To be enthusiastic about our jobs? Well, again, turning our attention back to Colossians 3. Let's read the passage again, starting in verse 22. He says, "Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God, and whatever you do, do it heartily." Now notice, here's the inspiration to work that way. He says, "as to the Lord and not to men." As to the Lord and not to men. That's where you find the motivation to put your life and soul into your work. Working as unto the Lord, as though Jesus was the boss and CEO of the company. How would your work improve if Jesus really was your boss? Is there room to step it up a notch or two? What if he was the CEO of your company? Would you do your work more heartily? Would you do a better job? Well, this is a third way you can be a light in the workplace. If you're taking notes, number three, God desires that we do our work as unto him. Number three, God desires that we do our work as unto him. When you're making that Frappuccino at Starbucks, do that as if Jesus was the CEO of Starbucks and he was the one who happened to stop by that afternoon for a drink. Not that Jesus would drink Frappuccinos. I don't know, maybe he would. When someone walks into your store, restaurant, God wants you to greet them and serve them as though it was Jesus who stopped by. If you work on an assembly line, build that thing as though Jesus was going to be the one doing the inspection and the one using the product. If you're a school teacher, or a stay-at-home mom working for the Lord, God wants you to teach those kids as though each one of them were one of his kids, because they are his kids. That is what it means to do your work as unto the Lord. That's the kind of work God desires that you and I do. That's the kind of work that pleases God. And it will most likely blow away your boss and be a tremendous witness to your coworkers. Now, Charlie, are you saying my work ethic by itself will communicate the gospel to people? No. No, that's not what I'm saying. But it will give you a much better platform to speak from once you do have the opportunity to share. And if you have already shared the gospel or your testimony, your good work ethic will give people a clearer picture of what a genuine follower of Jesus looks like. All right, there's a fourth way to shine in the workplace mentioned here in this passage in Colossians 3. Look back at verse 17. Verse 17 says, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Giving thanks to God the Father through him. So, if you're taking notes, number four is this: God desires that we do our work with an attitude of thankfulness. God desires that we do our work with an attitude of thankfulness. So many people today complain on the job. They complain to other coworkers about how much they hate the job, how bad the pay is, how the benefits stink. You know, at least that's what was going on when I was out there in the workforce. Well, that is something coworkers should not hear coming out of the mouth of a Christian employee. What should they hear? Verse 17 says, giving thanks to God. Giving thanks to God. When your coworkers are complaining about the boss or work policies or the pay or that the benefits aren't very good, you might just chime in and say, yeah, I'd like a raise too. But you know what? I'm just thankful to God to have a job and to be able to buy groceries, put gas in my car, pay my bills. People in other countries have far less than us. That kind of thankfulness, that kind of contentment can be a tremendous witness to people. So to quickly recap what we've seen so far, number one, God desires that we obey our employers. Number two, God desires that we do our work with enthusiasm. Number three, God desires that we do our work as unto Him. And number four, God desires that we do our work with an attitude of thankfulness. There's a fifth exhortation we find in God's Word that I'd like to draw your attention to. This one is found back in the Old Testament in Proverbs chapter 10. You can turn back there with me if you'd like. Proverbs chapter 10. Notice verse 4. Solomon writes this. He says, "He who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich." He who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. Here's a fifth bit of instruction if you're taking notes. Number five, God desires that we do our work diligently. Diligently. Diligence is the opposite of laziness. This word diligent here in verse 4 means to exert oneself, to endeavor, to make effort, to be eager, and to be determined. Does that describe the way you work? With eagerness, determination, exerting yourself for Jesus' sake? That's God's will for you in the workplace. Your employer, as you know, is seeking to run a profitable business. The last thing the owner of your company wants is a guy like this guy. He's not looking to lose money or business because of slacking employees. Your boss needs diligent workers. Those are the ones who are going to help the company as a whole prosper financially. 3,000 years ago, about 1,000 BC, Solomon told us about a time when he saw the effects of laziness up close. In Proverbs chapter 24, in verse 30, he said, "I went by the field of who? The lazy man. I went by the field of the lazy man and by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding. And there it was, all overgrown with thorns. Its surface was covered with nettles. Its stone wall was broken down. When I saw it, I considered it well. I looked on it and received instruction." Verse 33, "A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. If that's your attitude every day," he says, "so shall your poverty come like a prowler and your need like an armed man." Solomon says that the vineyard that was all overgrown reminded him again that laziness and sloth leads to poverty and financial need. Over and over again, diligent, hard work is commended and laziness is condemned. May God help each one of us to be diligent workers. All right, there's a sixth exhortation I'd like to point out to you. This one's back in the New Testament in Ephesians chapter 6, if you'd like to follow along. Ephesians chapter 6. I'll put the verses on the screen for you. Notice in verse 5 and following, Paul again talking to bondservants, employees. He says, "Be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart as to Christ." So Paul is telling the Ephesians something very similar to what he had told the Colossians. But then he adds this in verse 6. He says, "Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart." When Paul says there, "not with eye service," he's saying that God wants you to be an employee who doesn't need someone to keep an eye on you to make sure you're doing your work. God wants you to work as hard when no one is watching as you do when you are under direct supervision. That's not the way a lot of people work today. Many employees have a tendency to do not what the boss expects, but only what the boss inspects. This should not be. That's what eye service is. Serving or working hard only when the boss is working or when your work's going to be inspected by a supervisor or manager. God desires that we be men and women of integrity by working hard even if the boss is out of town for the week. And even if no one is inspecting our work. So if you're taking notes, that's number 6. God desires we do our work well, even when no one is looking. God desires that we do our work well, even when no one is looking. That's why I had to rebuke the pastoral staff here when I got here tonight. Pastor Jack's out of town. You should have seen these guys. Kidding, of course. No, this is one of the hardest working staffs I know of. Great church staff here. Cut that out of the video if you could. Yeah, I don't want to get the guys in trouble. Now, notice the very next verse, verse 7, there in Ephesians 6, if you did turn there. Paul continues and says that we are to do our work also, he says, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. That word goodwill in the Greek can also be translated kindness. Kindness, that is a seventh way to be a light in the workplace. Number 7, God desires that we be kind to those we work with and for. God desires that we be kind to those we work with and for. Being a diligent, hardworking employee is great. But if you really want to be a light for the Lord, you need to also be kind. So, employees here tonight, bosses, question for you. How would your coworkers score you on a scale of 1 to 10 when it comes to kindness? You might be the hardest worker for the company, but what about kindness? How would they score you when it comes to just being kind to other coworkers and customers? Do you ever go out of your way to bless your coworkers? Are you kind to customers who are rude? Are you rendering service to them with goodwill, as Ephesians 6:7 tells us to? Treating rude customers kindly is a great way to witness to your coworkers. When they see the fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life, especially in those trying circumstances where most employees would get impatient or angry, they may realize you have something that they don't have. And soon enough, there may be opportunity to talk to them about what that is. A relationship with the true and living God and His Spirit who is in you that empowers you to be gentle and patient and kind, even to rude customers. So that's God's desire for us in the workplace, that we be kind. There's an eighth exhortation regarding our work found in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, notice this, verse 10 and following, says, "For even when we were with you, we commanded you this. If anyone will not work," and he's speaking because of laziness, that's what he has in mind there. "If anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are," what? "Busybodies." Busybodies. Well, we don't use that word much anymore, do we? What is a busybody? Well, a busybody is a gossipy, meddlesome person who likes to pry into the affairs of others. That's the definition of someone who is a busybody. They like to gossip, they're meddlesome, they're always trying to pry into and get some little juicy bit of information that they can share with others. Then Paul continues in verse 12. He says, "Now those who are such," those who are those busybody types, "we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in," what? "Quietness and eat their own bread." This is an eighth exhortation God gives us in the scriptures regarding our work. You might write it down. Number eight, God desires that our work be marked by quietness. God desires that our work be marked by quietness. Now, of course, this passage in 2 Thessalonians 3 is not prohibiting laughing or talking at work or loud construction crew type of equipment. That's not what the Bible's advocating, that the workplace needs to be quiet. It's instructing us to not get involved in workplace gossip and slander. That is what Paul's talking about there. Gossip and slander, of course, is commonplace in our culture today and, unfortunately, in many of our workplaces. But the Bible instructs us to not get involved with those who gossip. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 19 says, "He who goes about as a slanderer reveals secrets. Therefore," what? "Do not associate with a gossip." How often it would be best for us as Christians to just keep quiet and do our work. If someone comes to you with a juicy bit of gossip, challenge her or him on it and change the subject. Don't participate in it, and certainly don't pass the gossip around. So that's number eight. Our work should be marked by quietness. All right, there's a ninth and final exhortation we'll consider this evening. It's found in the book of Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Notice with me verse 9 and 10. Paul writing to Titus, he says, "Exhort bondservants to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back, not pilfering, but showing all good fidelity or faithfulness, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. The word pilfering there in verse 10 means to separate for oneself or to withdraw covertly and appropriate to one's own use. We have another word for pilfering today, don't we? Stealing. Stealing. This is a ninth way you can shine for the Lord in the workplace. God desires that we not steal from our employers. God desires that we not steal from our employers. According to the U.S. Department of Commerce, employee dishonesty costs American businesses in excess of $50 billion a year. Isn't that incredible? The U.S. Chamber of Commerce estimated that 75% of all employees in America steal at least once, and that half of these steal again and again. The Chamber also reports that one out of every three business failures in the United States of America is the direct result of employee theft. Isn't that crazy? I saw it in the work world. I'm sure you have as well. Now, I imagine that none of you steal from your employers in the traditional way, but you may actually be pilfering from the company if you use the photocopier, office supplies, phones, cars, and so on for personal use. If the owner has given you permission to use the company's supplies in that way, then that's one thing. Go for it. But any such activity without their permission dishonors the Lord and can also undermine your witness to fellow employees. Oh, they might pilfer from the company a little here and there, but they know that Christians, you, are supposed to be living by a higher standard. And so it can be very stumbling to them, even to see you using the photocopier. So, brothers and sisters, do you desire to be a light in your workplace? I think you do. You can be if you'll follow God's instructions. Now, if you're like me, you realize after a teaching like this that you have probably fallen short in one or more of these areas. So what should we do? Well, we need to pray and ask God to forgive us and change us. And He is so gracious to do that very thing. He wants to change you. He wants to make you a better employee. He wants to use you in the lives of your coworkers. Why? Well, because He loves them. He loved them so much that 2,000 years ago, Jesus, God in the flesh, died on that cruel wooden Roman cross to pay the penalty for their sins. Not just your sins, but their sins also. He rose from the grave on the third day, and today He stands ready to save, to forgive, to help, and to change them and anyone who will humbly come to Him in prayer. May God use us in their lives to bring them that good news. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank You, God, tonight for this word to us. It's a challenging message. So, Lord, tonight we run to Your throne of grace to receive mercy and help in time of our need. God, You've seen us falling short, in the workplace, not always working with a thankful heart, not always working hard when the boss isn't around, sometimes getting involved in the gossip and slandering and complaining, maybe even pilfering from the company in different ways. God, we ask for your forgiveness tonight. We thank you that you're a merciful God, ready and willing to forgive. So God, we pray that you would cleanse us. We pray that you would fill us with your Spirit, even this week, that we might change some of our ways. God, we pray that you would mold and shape us into the kinds of employees you desire for us to be. And God, we do lift up our coworkers to you. We love these people dearly. And tonight, God, we place them before you in our prayers. God, we ask for their salvation. We pray that you would draw them to yourself. We pray that you'd help them to see something in us that would make you attractive to them, that we might have opportunity to share the gospel with them, maybe on a lunch break or something, God. Use us in the workplace, God, we do pray. And God, even if there would be someone here tonight who's in need of your salvation, God, we pray that tonight would be the night that that person looks to you for salvation. Lord, work in their heart as well. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.